What's up, heathens, and welcome to the Salem After Show. Today we're talking about episode 5, which is The Witch is Back. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, fellow fans of Salem? Like I said, we're talking about episode 5, which is The Witch is Back, which was the appropriate title for this episode. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane, and I'm joined by my awesome co-host.
Hi, everybody. My name is Pam Gross, and you can find me all over the internet at Pamela Gross Jill.
Nice. And we are live in the chat, so if you are watching this live, feel free to talk with us and let us know what you thought about the episode. And if you are watching this later, leave comments down below. What did you think? Because this episode, I liked it. There was a lot that happened. What were your first thoughts?
This episode was intense and dark and a little dirty. There was a lot of keeping it in the family. A lot of inter-family love and blood going on tonight.
Yes, a lot of blood.
A lot of blood.
It's a bloody episode.
A lot of mother-son blood.
I was just about to say it was this that time of the month kind of a thing, and then you said mother-son. I'm like, well, but then this kind of, you know, because it's part of the cycle.
Exactly. It's all the circle of life.
I like that we pick up right away with John and the boy, who I don't... Do we ever get a name?
We do.
What was the name? I missed it.
We learn it tonight, or maybe we've learned it earlier and I didn't catch it.
What was it?
Billy.
Oh, yeah.
Or
Billy.
May we call him her Wilhelmina. Billy could be a nickname for Wilhelmina or Willie.
I totally miss when... She said her name.
Yeah. Which I don't think she ever did, but I'm not sure if they did, but I think
we
saw it during the closed captioning, because we watch it in closed captions so we can actually see the words, and it kept saying Billy, and I was like, I've never caught that before. I don't know if they've said it before and I didn't notice, or it's the first time. And then I believe that John used the name Billy, and then I think he referred to himself later. So I was like, all right, Billy, here it is, jumping out at us tonight.
I think that's, from Will, if the name is something with a Willa something.
Wilhelmina.
Billy.
Yeah.
Easy transition.
Sure.
Yeah. The natives are there, and they keep coming back, and I'm like, is it magic? And they're zombies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we know who made them zombies?
I don't know, but
I don't think we know.
They're undead native Indian zombie natives, and they're fighting with the French.
Yes.
That was, I didn't realize before. They're on the same.
Yeah. So it's possible that Sebastian's helping them, because we saw Sebastian with the natives and with the French prior.
Right.
So that's my only thought of who it could be. Otherwise, I was like,
well,
it's magic. It's not. Unless there's some other, unless the natives have some sort of like.
No.
I think zombification.
I think that because I think they're fighting against their own interests. Not that people don't do that, but they're not
so willing.
They were enemies in life with the French commander.
Okay,
but in death they're fighting for them. So I think it's some devil magic making them reanimating them, if you will, bringing them back to life.
I just like that they finally went there with that, because I remember like an episode or two ago when we first saw the natives being like crazy, I was like, dude, they're behaving really weird and they look weird, but we couldn't quite tell enough. And now I'm like, oh, it's because they're zombies.
Right.
That makes
sense. This was the clarification that they are indeed undead magic Native American zombie warriors.
Yes, go figure. And then we're just going to finish their storyline, because their storyline went kind of quick, and I was totally waiting. Oh, well, first, our poor Billy gets stabbed. I didn't really see that coming.
Yeah.
Well, I did. As soon as somebody's behind Billy, I was like, shit. But the stab was like,
Yeah.
At least it wasn't through, like, the face, though.
That
was
another
thing I was watching. But were you shocked at all?
I didn't think when we were watching, I was like, no, Billy's not going to die. Don't worry. Yeah. There's going to be, John Alden's going to reveal some inner magic. But I loved that we got answers and a super sweet reaction from John.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Billy's backstory, which was incredible.
Oh, I was so happy to have the backstory.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that. And it was so like, aw, because we knew it was going to be a good reason, like, why this character would do it. But, I mean, in that world, it was probably safer, especially on your own, to be portrayed as a man, not a woman.
Oh, absolutely. So.
Be the one thing that women can't be, a warrior.
Which was lovely, a lovely sentiment. And I liked that Billy went out in ballad style the way she loved.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a very poetic ending to a poetic existence.
Yes. And then I loved, and I totally was calling it too. And we called this, I think, before when we knew that, as soon as we knew it was a woman, is I'm like, there's going to be like a Mulan moment. We're going to have a Mulan moment. Mm-hmm. We totally did. And she's laying there and he's like, I got to dress your wound. She's like, no, don't do it. And he's like, come on, I got to do it. And then, awkward. But then, it, like, she took that moment. She's like, screw it. I'm going to kiss you. I was like, yay! Yeah.
Well, she was at death's doorstep. And I liked that the kiss was sweet without being overtly sexual. Because he was just like, you know, his face. She and he was like.
And then just hugged me.
Like, because he'd been like, what the fuck? Yeah, so that like, was.
I think he was still processing in that moment. He's like. What?
Definitely Say processing, what? But definitely handled it like a smooth John Alden should.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very cool, very smooth.
But you know what? I mean, there is I almost kind of half wondered if Billy might still be alive, but there is a shot where it looks like John, like, closes the eyes thing. I kind of was half hoping. I'm like, please? But I don't think so.
Would love for Billy to be alive, right? But it didn't seem like that. Was going to continue storyline wise.
Probably not.
Unless maybe down the road, like whatever Indian zombie magic brought the Indian zombies back to life. Maybe the friend, like maybe they'll come across each other in battle later on.
Because it looks like you're not you anymore. So I don't think I'd want that for Billy.
No, I don't want that either. I hope that Billy, doesn't happen, but
Billy got to have an adventure and meet her hero.
Exactly.
Wish that was cute too.
Yeah.
Like, I met my hero. And you're like,
right. And let him know that he is one.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not crying.
Yeah.
Crying. Oh, it was so sweet.
So sweet.
And then we get, we come back right back to where we left Anne, and she's getting the cuts, which is just gross. Mm-hmm. And of course, her hero runs in, Cotton. Oh, which actually is kind of a funny contrast, because Billy's story, he's like, all these women were waiting for a man to come in and save them. Mm-hmm. And nobody showed up. And then we cut to Anne, and lo and behold, Cotton runs in and saves her. Because Cotton's like, I'm going to claim the reward on myself, which that was actually smart.
Uh-huh.
I like that.
And that was my wish prediction, was that Cotton would appear to save Anne. Yep. So, yay, that happened, and that was great.
Yes, you're like, yes, Cotton, you're back.
Yeah.
And it was funny. Did you think he would say that of like, yeah, you wanted somebody to turn me in. I'm turning myself in.
No.
Can I get the reward?
That part I did not, neither predicted nor could have even come up with a wish for. Right? I didn't realize that was even an option. Cotton was pretty
smart,
outsmarting the devil there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thinking ahead.
Yes. And then, of course, the devil's like, oh, no, I'm glad you're back so you can be my Moses. And
yeah.
Cotton's like, what? That's just awkward.
I didn't realize, and then I guess Moses wrote the Ten Commandments, right, for God. So it was like he's a scribe. Yeah. So that's what the devil wants of Cotton. It seems like anyone could do that job. Like, do you really need Cotton to do it? But you know, I guess people respect. He did mention that he sold more books than any other in the land. So maybe he's like a top selling author, and that's what the devil needed to write his story. It's a bestseller.
Yeah, that's something I wondered. Because then, we have Cotton and the Sentinel later, and the Sentinel's like, "You're gonna write all this history down. Come on." And I kind of wondered if he just can't write.
No, Cotton's a self-proclaimed.
No, not Cotton, but the Sentinel.
Oh.
Why don't you write your own history?
I do think that it's because Cotton's like, a bestseller.
He's a wordsmith. He's good at his words.
Well, that, and I think they need it to seem...
He's a name.
Well, we want, like, say Oprah wanted a biographer or something. She's not just going to be like, hey, you can write. You write it. Like, you need someone that the people are going to go, oh, this
person
author
wrote it.
Is a great... Right. So, not that Oprah and the boy are similar. Not to make that comparison, but I'm saying, I guess that in his infinite wisdom...
A good writer.
Yes.
Because, you call them almost like you're a scriver.
I think he called him a scribbler.
Scribbler. Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
A straight up scribbler, which is, I don't know if he was being insulting or if that's what they called it in Puritania.
Scrib to write, I don't know. But I do like at that moment when the Sentinel points out that all power corrupts, because Khan's like, you've seen God? And he's like, and I've seen his ass. Yes. It's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
Okay. Oh, Sentinel. Yeah, saucy with the God stuff.
But is that a prediction then for the devil as well? Because he said all power corrupts.
Well, I think he made it clear. He said, we didn't overthrow God to have you as our God. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't overthrow one to have you. They're coming to blows, those two.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
And when he threatens him and he says, are you threatening me? And he's like,
I won't even need to make threats.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to jump to step two.
When I threaten you, you'll know it.
Yeah, I like that part because that was kind of cool. Oh, yeah, huh?
I was going to say, and that, it just popped into my head, that goes to show in this world, too, where there's magic and devils and zombies and stuff, Mary is, to some extent, pulling the strings on everyone, even without any power, without any celestial or demonic power, she is still pulling all the strings.
Yes,
between those men.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
it's marvelous. Yeah, the line I wrote that down because I really liked it. I won't waste my time with threats.
Oh yeah,
Drop the mic. Gauntlet has been thrown. Well, then we have Tituba coming to Mary and is like, I need to warn you, there's an Essex witch and there's a traitor because, you know, your son kind of knew when you came back and trust no one.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, X-Files, trust no one. Well, it's other stuff too, but just made me think of that. But then later, I mean, we'll jump to it because it's in the same plot. Because it was like,
we can.
I'm like, where's that part in my notes? Yes, so I was like, did you guys see that coming, that Tituba would be the traitor? I was all, bitch, traitor. That's what I wrote down.
Tituba.
Like, what?
Sucks. Oh, like, Tituba sucks so much. I'm with you now. Thank you. Okay.
I'm with you now.
And when will she learn, too? She's gone down this road before for the devil.
Right.
And not been rewarded.
Yeah, he had her eyes plucked out, essentially.
Yeah, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on Tituba. She just keeps doing the same thing over and over again. I almost wanted, and it was very dramatic what he said, but the whole line where he, you know, won't get there yet, but I wanted him to just kill Tituba. I hate Tituba.
I thought that's what he was there for. One random side note, I do love the effects on this show, the look of the show, but Tituba's contacts, I know those ones are a bitch to keep in place. The cat eye line, because it's often like bloop, bloop, like one eye's a little tilted.
Yeah.
I've dealt with those ones before. They don't stay like perfect as well.
Okay.
Then like, because if it's a circle, it's a circle, but I've noticed that in the show and I'm like, oh, it's kind of annoying.
Right.
But then again, they're cat's eye, so literally maybe they've moved, I don't know, but yeah, no, that totally was a shocker for me. I didn't see that coming, and I was like, oh dude, he's gonna kill her. No, I want you to kill my brother. All right, I can actually go with that one.
Yeah,
but they're packed in blood too. Lick my hand.
I don't understand what Tituba wants.
What is
her motivation?
Revenge on Mary.
She's gotten revenge on Mary,
and if it is still that, I really hope there's something more there.
Why is she playing both sides?
I don't
like. What does she want?
She's just a double agent right now. I don't think she's quite playing both sides.
That is playing both sides, isn't it? Being a double, isn't a double agent?
Well, you're using one to benefit the other, but you're not necessarily.
What does she want from Mary? Is my question, and what does she want from the devil?
Yeah, I want to know what she wants from the devil, and I really hope it's good, because it's like, yeah, she's already had her revenge on Mary. So
I thought she wanted revenge on the devil from Mary. I thought she wanted Mary to kill the devil, but clearly now,
no,
that's not what she wants.
Yes,
I don't know what she wants. That's why I think she's such a jerk.
Yeah,
because it's like I could understand all of the characters, even if you don't like them, there's some empathy there because they're doing something for a good of something, an unborn child or love or something. But Tituba's just a butthead. Like, yes. What is she?
Oh, I don't understand her now.
I'm just kinda
like, oh my gosh. She's just... I don't know what you're doing, girl.
A grade A jerk.
Another thing where Cotton and Anne, and he's like, back to them, going to something a little more pleasant.
Yay.
Their first little aw moment, it's our child, it's a vision, and it's hope. However, jumping kind of... Okay, we're going to jump. I think it'd be easier now to stay with stories.
Yeah.
In a way. We have Cotton and Anne, and then I kind of wonder if it's actually not Anne's child, but it's Gloriana's child.
That Tituba is saying there's a child, a Bruin?
Yes.
Okay. Questions then, and
yes.
And we'll just, and you have to forgive us, the show is structured sort of like a soap opera, so
bit.
It's hard to keep linear. We
okay.
kind of have to follow...
You remember who Gloriana is, yes.
No, well, is she? So that's what...
I think Gloriana is his whore.
The well-dunking whore? The one that died?
Yeah. No, she didn't die. The redhead who he was screwing and his father banished her. Benefit of myself, I very recently watched season 2, so it's much more fresh. She's a redhead. She was the whore that he, like, actually loved mm-hmm. and was, like, ready to marry her. And his father was like, no, and I gotta get her out of your life. And he did try her as a witch, proved it wasn't, she wasn't a witch, and he just banished her. And was like, just
okay.
keep going. And so I think that's her, though her hair is a bit darker and it was not the best lighting, so it's maybe a little hard, but I think that's who it is. Has it been 9 months that she's uber pregnant from when she was banished? I am unclear on that timeline, because it feels like it's been longer than 9 months.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have any sense of how long we've been in this town.
Okay,
I mean, is there any other time indicator?
No idea. Time is fluid
really.
Here.
Yeah.
I felt like that was really super suspect. I don't believe that's, maybe Gloriana is that person.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed like a really big setup to me.
Okay.
I don't know who, like, from the woman being like, there's a woman, she needs your help, she's super pregnant, to that woman being like, oh, all I need is you to find the father. It's Cotton Mather. Like, it all seemed so strategic.
It's just a horrible, horrible coincidence.
Is it? I feel like there's some...
Okay.
This is some setup. Again, I don't know who. For a second, I thought, mm-hmm. is that woman, the woman that was like, oh, there's one more. She's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Is she the woman from last week? Is she Mrs. the one that we didn't necessarily see die with the doggy and the funny?
Oh.
Is that at all possible, or is that a super stretch?
I think it's a super stretch.
Okay.
But
wanting
we
vengeance
could
on
go,
Cotton.
I think it's a coincidence, and you think there's more involved.
I think it's a setup
okay.
to...
I think that could be a very interesting theory.
Drive yep. Cotton and... Because they were doing so swell this
Oh my
this
gosh,
episode.
They had so much cute. And she's like, I'm going to go help the refugees and I'm going to be a good person. And he's like, wait, don't go. I'm going to
yeah.
kiss you. And I'm just like, oh, I'm totally
yeah.
wanting them to be okay together.
Me too. And it seemed too perfect. She just said, I came to say goodnight. And he said, I'm
yes.
glad you did. And then she went out to
it's
go
like,
do aw. Good deeds. And then all of a sudden... knife through that plan.
Yes. And then it was with the refugees that she meets Gloriana. But it was kind of weird, too, because if Gloriana came from Boston, it's kind of weird she's in with the refugees. So there's stuff... I think it's a coincidence, but there's a lot of things that are weirdly lining up.
Yeah,
in place there.
I think it's not. I think it's sus.
You're like, hmm.
Suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Super suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something fishy is going on in
yes.
Salem.
Then I'd say let's do Mercy's story.
All right.
I mean, this
Mercy.
Show jumps around, but then this episode seems it's easier to follow the stories.
Yeah.
Because I think, well, this one was more complete with everybody's story.
Yeah.
Other episodes, they just kind of jump around and you're like, I don't know where we left
mm-hmm.
off, but this one's like, whoa. So we got Mercy and like, she's not at her whorehouse and like, oh, she's still not back. Which that time transition was a little bit weird because it felt like it was daytime when Isaac went in the last episode and the girl's like, oh, all her things are upstairs. Thing in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, cool. But then this was like he was hiding and then it was at night and they're like, oh, she's still not back. So that was a little weird of a transition for me.
I'm like not even at all able to be cognizant of the timeline. I don't even try. So I just accept, like, so Mercy's out one night, and Isaac stumbles in. And
I think that was how they did the transition. Like, Mercy's not home. And then Isaac's like, oh, no, I'm still here. And he frees all the dicks.
Mm-hmm. All the dicks return to their dick man. Free the dicks. Free the dicks. Yeah.
I do like how they did this because we did talk about, okay, guys, we talked about this a lot in the last time about it. Because it is like, how is this magic in the world work? And so I liked how they showed how the bird, because you pointed out this a little more symbolic / literal that the bird represents the penis. Because the birds like went into their chest as like an energy, I felt. And then it probably just switched whatever it was back to normal.
Yeah.
Slash her hold on them is gone.
Exactly. It's a symbolic hold. I think it literally was, you know, when you're giving some other man's bird dick lovin', that's how you keep him wrapped around your finger, which she proves with Hawthorne.
Oh, that's
but,
true.
But, you know, she was actually using them as not just symbolic bird dicks, but actual.
But I meant like how it came back into them. I thought it was a physical, like, switch something. Because the way they showed it, that's what it looked like. They ripped off a bird's head and put it there. But the way the bird just disappeared into their chest, I felt more like it was just like a glamour / switch something. But whatever.
I thought
But thank
it's funny.
Goodness they stabbed the shit out of her. I was like, yes!
In my mind's eye, but you said it went into their chest symbolically. And in my mind's eye, and we just saw it, I feel like it flew into their mouths. So I must have made that up. I think that you're right.
I thought it went into their chest and like it was like blue, like you can see a ripple go through.
But. I think what we can take from this is that it's a symbolic re-entry of their self-control, manhood, self-possession, free will.
And so they have freedom and then they stab her a lot.
Yes. Well, they realize. Loved I think it. They realize, oh my God, we can control ourselves again. Yes. And they stab her, which was awesome to watch.
Oh, it's so good. Mm-hmm. And then she gets somehow back to her whorehouse and the magistrate comes. And I actually, not yet though. I like puns, guys. I think the magistrate actually, I mean, I think he's, I don't necessarily think the magistrate loves her. I think he's addicted to her.
Yeah. Well, she is, and again, I think this was a theme throughout the episode tonight of sort of love and desire and need.
And how love and dependence. Is magic.
Love, that was a dip. Yes. This more like, so she's basically his everything, the way she's literally keeping him alive and healthy, satisfying him. And he gave that up, so she's become godly to him.
So he...
I think worships is a fair word. I don't know if love is the right word, but it's so...
I don't think he loves her romantically. I want to say it's like he's a... She's like a drug.
Well, he's enslaved.
Yeah.
Literally to the point where he said the line about, you know, she said, I've given you my freedom.
And he likes his chains.
And he says, I only want the freedom of my chains.
Yeah.
He knows why the cage bird
he
sings.
He likes that heroin feel in his veins. Yeah. And he's like, give me another hit, girl. But then she's smart. I need blood. And then I have too much. I don't want to take it from my girls. Dude, she's a lot of girls. Yeah. It's like if they all just did a little bit, be fine. And that's what they do.
Yeah, that's perfect. But again, like, what is she, a freaking vampire? Why does she always need blood so much to...
Well, I think... Well, one, she learned it from the Countess to bathe in blood to replenish her skin. I think since her skin got so effed up with the burns way back when, she probably just can't heal or maintain healthiness long enough. And that's why.
I like that you're coming up with completely logical, very realistic sounding motivations for these things that I don't think exist. But now just blood is her cure all. Again, I'll accept it, but it's like, no, I just need blood from my harem every time Mercy's in a jam. Yeah. Blood will do it.
And she's the harem of all these girls who they're also addicted to her too, and they will do anything for her.
Yeah.
So
I did.
She gets her literal bloodbath.
She does. Yay. But I liked her moment of, she did have a sincere moment again in this episode where she was saying like, Oh, God, I've done this so many times.
The Wheel of Pain.
Yes, I paraphrase, but yes. I've been here, and I don't know if I have the strength to do it again. And then all her acolytes are like, you do,
no,
you do,
we're
Mercy,
here for you,
do.
Mercy. Yeah. You're like, Mercy. Oh, yep. Yeah. And then we have Sebastian and the Countess Marburg. Countess Marburg is not gone. Mm-mm. And he's like, I'm not going to use magic for love. And then I like that she's kind of like, love is magic, which is a good point, because it does make people do crazy things. It's like a spell on them. And she wants Mary's blood, which he almost gets caught. That was kind of fun to watch.
That was great. And back to what the Countess said with the love is magic. She said some great things, like what's the difference between magic or a longful glance or a sonnet, that they're all the same thing, and which was extremely keen of her.
Sorry, I was already gagging at the, no, I need blood, but I want it from your lips.
Yeah. That was really hard to watch.
Oh, that was so gross. Like, at first he's, like, spittling it out into her mouth, and then he's like, okay, I'm gonna kiss you, and I'm like, nope.
And she bites him. That's her thing, right? Doesn't she always bite her person?
Yeah, weird.
No. It's super weird.
Yep.
And she was telling him, like, give her what she needs before she knows she needs it.
Yeah.
Which was, yes, gentlemen, heed that advice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, give her what she wants before she knows she even wants it. That was a great line also about love and power and how people want to be given things that sort of make you dependent on them.
Yes, and it's almost like if you don't know you want something and then you get it and then you're like, I didn't even know I wanted that. And speaking of what he gives her back her clothes, which I was like, dude, anybody, I mean, most ladies and a lot of gentlemen could appreciate having fine clothes. And she's been wearing, these plain Jane, boring kind of black whatevers, even though she wore a lot of black before. But all the jewels, the embroidery, and of course they're all immaculately maintained in this room and all the jewelry. And she's like, yep. You're right, that's exactly what I wanted. But you know how it feels when you put on a fresh outfit you just got and you feel like $1 million kind of idea. And she's like, that is what I need. And then she gives him a nice little kiss on the cheek. And then I almost was like, I kind of want you guys to be together now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of feeling it now.
Except that he had to make out with his mom with blood to get her.
Yeah, but you know what? The fact when he said he's not going to use love to win, magic to win her over, I'm like, even though he is the smarmiest, I don't trust him, dude. I'm liking him more and how much he's been dedicated love to Mary.
He is
vigilant in that love.
If we're doing a character reference, I don't mean character like fictional character. Yeah. I mean a character. Mm-hmm. He's certainly the best guy in the mansion. I mean there's not a lot of people behaving any better than he is. So it's hard to say he's like totally terrible.
Yeah.
But I also think she's full of shit. I don't think Mary gives one. I'm sure she's happy to put on pretty dresses and nice necklaces, but I don't think that's what she's longing for. I think she's humoring him to some extent. Like, thanks, honey.
Both. I think she really liked it because that probably made her feel like it's one of those outside in. Like, if she feels good on the outside, it helps her feel good on the inside. I don't think she's very dependent on him, like you said. But I think the kiss on the cheek was the best. Gentlemen just fall for that, you know? The ladies are like, because it's not as giving as on the lips, but it's enough that the guys are like, oh my gosh, she kissed me. So I do think she's kind of playing him.
I definitely think she's playing him. And I agree that it's nice to feel, I think there was sort of empowerment of getting herself back and her belongings and that, but
she did her hair.
She had a really cool dress. Yeah. She had her pretty jewels on and stuff. But I think Mary's is way beyond fineries.
Oh, yes. And speaking of how she's behaving, it's a lot like chess. And then we get that chessboard, which I thought that was super interesting that the devil's playing with God and the chess piece moves. Because, like some other shows out there, if you have the evil, like you have the devils and demons, it's cool to see the other side as well.
Yeah.
Because it's like you can't have one without the other. So it's neat to see the piece move.
Yep.
And then Sentinel's like, do you ever win? Nope, it's always a stalemate.
Yes. That was incredible.
Good metaphor there too.
Very good.
Then we get to Mary admitting the almost suicide, but she did not give up the Sentinel. What did you think of that?
I thought she, two things.
Oh, she played him.
She played him, but I think she was also showing in that moment that she could sell him out and that he would, that the boy would very likely side with her. If he found out that Sentinel was taunting her into death, he would have been pissed.
Yeah. I heard a voice. What voice?
Yeah.
Nothing. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. My conscience.
And then she's like, I've tried everything in my life but submission. Give me a reason to live. And I'm like, But then I'm like, okay, now she's totally playing him, so it's all good. And he's like, well, you know, God needed two Marys, or Jesus, rather, needed two Marys. He needed one to birth him and one to be a lover, which kind of goes with the Da Vinci Code stuff.
Yeah.
And Angels and Demons. Good books, though. But then he's like, no, I just want you one. I want you to be my mother and my bride.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Trey, kinky. Yeah, very, very European of them. That was wild. And he's just on a power trip, power maniac.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I couldn't even wrap my head around. So God needed, so one Mary to birth him and one.
Mary Magdalene.
Right. But wasn't she also his?
The whore, there was the prostitute who bathed his feet, and there's theories that he had sex with her.
Right, no, totally. Oh, but yes, then what's the other?
His mother.
So the two Mary different Magdalene. Versions of one Mary.
Two. No, there's two Marys. There's a Mary who gave birth to Jesus, and then there's a Mary who's a
Isn't
prostitute.
Isn't Mary Magdalene also the mother of Jesus?
Okay, I feel horrible now.
Wait, no, she's his girlfriend. Mary and Joseph and Mary are different.
There's two Marys.
There are two Marys.
There are two Marys. Thank you.
And it's Mary Magdalene. I feel horrible that I'm forgetting this right now. Mary Magdalene is his mom.
Yes, Mary Magdalene is the former prostitute.
Did his mother, Mary, have a last name?
Probably.
Okay, I feel that's the one who's just
Mary.
She's just
and
Mary.
Joseph.
Mary Magdalene Mary is
mother
the prostitute.
Of Jesus.
Yeah, Mary mother
who
of Jesus.
Bathes his feet.
Her last name
and
is
And he's like, don't
mother
bathe my feet. Get up and like,
right.
So that's the other Mary.
No, I know who each were. I just didn't know if they were one and the same. And I guess they're not. So, oops. Okay.
It's okay. It's one of those ones you start thinking about it too hard. Then you're like, wait.
It's what? Always Mary,
then
Mary,
Then you always
Mary.
Double guessing yourself. We got someone in the chat and they said, nothing is more wild than the bird dicks getting loose by Isaac.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Oh, loved all those flying
Three cheers
by.
For Isaac.
And they're like, what? She's like, shit. So then we got the Mary and the Sentinel and everything, and, and then Mary, then later, Mary, our character, Mary, which is interesting, because generally when people refer to Mary, they're always referring to the Virgin Mary, because so that's what this Mary would be named after, not the prostitute. I like that she's like, well, Sentinel, guess what the devil wants from me? He wants me to be a goddess, which means he's going to be a god. And Sentinel's like, what? I like that she's totally like, I'm playing you right in my hand. Mm-hmm. He fell for that so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All of them. All the bros in that mansion are wrapped around little Mary's finger.
That's why I also didn't... Sorry, back to the... Back to the Tituba and the traitor thing. I have a note there of... And I was like, that's it? That guy barely had any lines and then he's dead. So that even more later, she faked it, which made sense now.
I know. I felt terrible for him.
You know, that's where I should have been suspicious because I was like, that was weird. He, like, it came out of nowhere.
And
we learned it wasn't real. Damn it.
I wasn't. Again, Tituba fooled me once. But I thought, okay, well, after losing her vision and getting betrayed by the devil, now she wants him dead. And she's on Mary's side, finally. Nope.
Yep. And then only a couple more things, and we're all wrapped on this. Okay, we got Mr. Dinley, who I am liking his character more and more. He gets all Sweeney Todd up in this episode. Slices the throat. You seem surprised when that happened. As soon as he was doing the neck, I'm like, he's going to slice it. He's going to slice it. He's going to slice it. And they did.
I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. He's like surgeon slash barber. Slash, why is he shaving people? That's what I didn't get. He's like the local surgeon, but he's also the barber. I guess Salem, they don't have a big downtown. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of resources
there. I guess so. Oh, and thank you in the chat. We got one. Mary Magdalene was one of the first followers of Jesus. Thank you for refreshing.
Thank you.
What's up with Tom? Oh, what about... Oh, yeah. Dinley Howie's. Yeah, he's barely in this show, but he's a really interesting character. And then, yeah, he's like, do you want to meet Pi? And I'm like, oh, it's even more Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
But he's working with Sebastian and for the Dark Lord. So I feel there's going to be more of him later because that's a good little setup. Because before we're just like, okay, this guy is in town. He's doing stuff. And now it's like, oh, he's with Sebastian.
Yeah.
But I want to know what Sebastian wants to know about that guy, you know?
Well, Sebastian seems to be on the low key, just like running around and getting people to do the devil's bidding. Yes. So he's really kind of his assistant. He's like the man in the field. He's his like field marshal out there wrangling troops. So there's a lot of people that seem to know that the boy is the devil.
Yes.
And they're doing his bidding, like the soldier that guy. And I'm sure there's probably a few others that we've yet to encounter.
Yeah. I haven't thought of that as the recruiting. Mm-hmm. Another one. Thank you, chat room. Yes. And who, those of you who are like me, and I didn't quite notice it all at first, that Marilyn Manson is Mr. Dinley. He's someone in the chat pointed out that he's only been in the show in three scenes in the whole season. So he's only seen him in three little scenes, but he's that memorable and he's really good. Like, I didn't recognize him at all. I think the character's really interesting. It's one of those, like, you're like, who is this person? I hope we see more.
Love his appearances, and it seems like there'll be more of them. He's got now sort of established a plot that he's working with Sebastian, so hopefully we'll see more of him.
Yes.
He is quirky and great.
Oh, yeah. Last little bit, which will lead us into prediction, is how Cotton, I still think it's a secret room. Because that room at the end of the hall they couldn't open, he looks through the keyhole and he hears the screams and sees himself upside down on the crucifix, kind of idea with the like Christ. And I thought that was really interesting. And then Mary shows up and then she's like, my contract with the devil is broken and we should be allies. And he's like, why should I trust you? But he doesn't kill her, so, you know, but he's not a murderer, so.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Good point. This is what I thought. Thank you, chat room. Cotton should have known Mary lost her powers when he straight up choked her and she didn't do anything. And which Mary, as in W-I-T-C-H, would have destroyed him. And I agree. I think he should have kind of noticed, like, I think I almost would have wanted him to be like, this is too easy.
Yeah.
He didn't really have that. But he was blind rage. But, of course, she made him kill his dad. And he's like,
Well, on that, Cotton refers to it as the devil never freed anyone from his contract. True. Where I thought it was interesting she didn't say freed. He just stripped me of my, it was a the reckoning. Is that what they're calling it? The reckoning? You survived your reckoning? Is that being stripped of your powers? Or is the reckoning when the witches brought her back?
No. I want to say, I think she called it a reckoning when she spoke to him later. Or when she told Tituba, I survived the reckoning. Good opinion from the chat room. Thank you. Someone said, I think the secret room is a door to hell.
I think the secret room, oh, well, should we wait? I'm going to, I'll
save
it for.
Let's just get into predictions.
But chat room, hold on, because we want to hear what you think. But yeah, I have a theory on the secret room.
Okay.
Oh.
Go for it. Now, what is your
After Buzz TV.
I know I always do that too. I'm like,
okay. Yes. My theory on the secret room is that it is, and this is keeping sort of with the hell theory. Do you remember in the Neverending Story, like the thing of mirrors? Not the nothing. You have to, theory is like facing yourself is the biggest. I think that room is sort of different to any key holder or to each individual. And I think you see your worst fears or your.
Throwback?
Yeah, nice. I think it's definitely or your own personal hell.
Right?
Yeah, that's my theory for that room. How about you?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea. I just want to know why would the devil have it there? Because unless he thinks most people are going to be undone by their own fears, because for Mary, it was just good because she moved past her fears in a way. Like, her fears brought her to realization and, like, higher consciousness in a way. But Cotton was just more like, oh, fuck, run away. And, like, I don't even want to look at that. And, like, oh, I'm crying blood. Oh, wait, it's not really there. So, but she probably has a better understanding of dealing with those kind of visions than he does.
Yes.
Looks like you're onto something. Yes.
Well, I'm processing what you said. And yes, I agree. But I think on that.
I just want to know who put it there and why would you have it there? Like, what's its function?
Well, Devil Dude, I think, constructed the house. So I think he definitely made that room
Adjusted
there.
Adjusted the house.
Well, right.
Yes.
Reconstructed the house.
Yes.
So I think that he obviously is in control of what goes on there to some extent. But I think we also have to remember that both Mary and Cotton were merely peering through a keyhole.
That's true.
They didn't enter. So that dose of whatever they got was not full strength.
I don't even think Mary looked through the keyhole. I think she just put her ear next to it.
Right.
I don't even think she can
look. Yeah. So you have to figure out.
I'm going to look.
At myself. Upside down.
Upside down and bleeding.
Which is super symbolic, too. Yeah. As a religious figure, to be upside down on a cross is him turning. I mean, he's seeing what he's... I think it's their conscience to some extent. Mm-hmm. And Mary does reference that she saw her own. She's faking it, but...
Oh, okay.
What?
Thank you. Predictions-y thing of the Native American. Someone in the chat brought up that the jewelry controls them. I didn't think that jewelry controlled them. I thought it was like a... it was like a...
The who controls them?
The red. Remember that red stuff?
Okay, that stuff.
It was like liquid. It's kind of like a liquid red mercury something.
Right.
But I thought that was purely explosive, like having crazy amounts of dynamite / like nuclear almost to like drop on a town and destroy it. I didn't think that actually controlled the natives. So you guys think it controls them?
I think that they're onto something.
I think that's a good theory.
Or maybe the wearer of the vat?
Because, but John took it from the French and he's holding it. I thought he took it from them and they were still coming at them. So I don't know. Good question. We'll find out.
Very good question, but maybe the explosion is what caused the resurrected zombie Indians.
Yes, I think that's a good one.
So they're somehow linked, whether it controls them or not.
Yeah.
It created them.
Oh, okay. And then good theory, too. I like this. Thank you guys for chiming in. We're liking these theories. Because sometimes when it's like theories, I get like, and I can't think of anything right away. But then I'm like, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the jewel. They said that they think it summons them. So I think that's possible.
Okay.
And then somebody made a good point that, do you think Sebastian has a key to the secret room? He had a bunch of keys when he opened the door for Mary's room. And I think that's a really good point. And if so, I wonder if Sebastian will open it. I think Sebastian will continue to progress with Mary. It's like I want them to work out, but then it's also like, wait, no, you want John. So I think you're rooting for John. Are you still rooting for John and Mary? I never lost
need
that.
You ask?
Never.
Yes. No. I am 1,000,000% team John. In fact, I'm so team John and Mary that I secretly hope they can revert Devil Boy back into their son.
Oh.
Like, that's what I really wish.
Purge him and control, make it better.
Right, like, all that could be undone. I don't really, that's not a prediction, because I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
But I want them to be a happy family.
Right. I want Cotton and Anne to be better, but from the preview for next time, which if you guys didn't watch that, I think it's going to not go so well with Gloriana. I know some people don't watch this, so I'm like, I don't want to say too much. And I do think Mary is playing chess with so many pieces on the board. I think she knows much better than what's going on. And I really hope Tituba's reasoning is better than just revenge on Mary. I hope there's more there.
Or revenge on the devil. Who knows what the heck?
Yeah.
Who she's avenging at this point.
And thank you, chat room. They were saying that Mary's good at using people as pawns. Yes. I think she's definitely perfected that. I kind of would like Countess Marburg to come back because Lucy Lawless is so amazing.
Yeah.
But that character, she would have to be different. Because as she was before, she was a complete adversary to Mary. And she can't come back if she's still an adversary.
Maybe she'll come back with Mary against the devil. Go team Mary. Because,
it didn't go her way either. I would hope she's kind of like, no. But I would think maybe if it gets too far and it's not going to go that way, Sebastian's going to be like, screw it, Mom, I'm choosing Mary.
Been blindly loyal to Mary. Yes. And it seems like people have subjugated their affections in this. Like, he's gone from blind loyalty to his mother now to blind loyalty to Mary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And back to that sort of thing, the sort of dependence versus love. The Sentinel went from, he's a puppet. to either God or the devil, and now Mary, it seems like, is pulling his strings.
Yeah. What do you think of this one for Cotton and Anne? Yes, I'm team Cotton and Anne. I want them to work out.
Shipping.
Also, why wouldn't Cotton want a hot witch girlfriend with powers? Right?
Right?
She's a perfect mate because she's... She's very attractive. She's smart.
She loves him.
Useful, and she absolutely adores.
Right.
She adores him, and like wants to make it work. It's not even like she let go of the love spell, and she's like, I want it to work.
Yeah,
so I'm hoping that will work out better, and I want Anne to be more okay. So this one little tiny thing, I don't think it's really come back, guys. And I don't know if you guys remember it. When Anne is first learning about, I want this to come back because I want Anne to be more badass. Way back when, Anne's looking in her father's book journal thing, and there's a photo of an image of like a tree woman, and it's drawn to look like Anne. And so I was hoping there would be more with Anne being more ultimate.
I think she definitely will become more ultimate as this.
Because right now she feels so like subservient and not wanting, because she's not embracing her powers and like stepping up to the challenge. And I don't want her and Mary to be at odds anymore. Be like, that should have been like, you know what? We're on the same side. We need to get rid of Devil Boy here and team up.
Yes.
Put aside what we did to each other before and move on.
And both of them were doing it to save love. So.
Yes. Chat room, and then, because the witch goes against everything he was taught. I know, but she's also a little different because she was born that way, and it wasn't like she really had a choice.
She didn't even know. And now he seems to love her. I think the child is going to turn a corner for him and make him forgive her witch stuff, and that she's servicing the community. She's also embracing her humanity in a strong way.
Final little comment, thank you guys for a thing somebody kind of asked a question about is like how many people are knowing about this show and Salem in general. Please tell people about the show and Salem too, because it is a really fun show. And if people aren't caught up, you can get totally caught up because season 1 and 2 are on Netflix. And then season 3, I think you can watch on WGN's website. So if you enjoy watching Salem, please tell people to go watch it so they can catch up with you, so you can talk about it, and then tell them to come here so then we can all talk about it, because we like the show, we're fans just like you guys, and we enjoy talking about it. And thank you so much for jumping in the chat with us. I know it's kind of a late night show, so if you aren't watching this live, comment down below, what did you think of the episode, what do you think of our theories, what are your theories? And I think that kind of wraps us up for this week.
It does.
Oh my goodness. This was quite an episode.
This was great.
Yes.
This was
it was a rewarding one. I felt it was satisfying.
It was.
So a lot happened. A lot was answered. Because some of the episodes are like, here's something. And we're like, no, we need more.
It was conclusive.
Yes.
There was a lot of conclusions to setups.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was awesome.
So why don't you let people know where they can find you online and continue the discussion?
All right. Thanks again for tuning in with us and chatting. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff at Pamela Gross Jill.
Nice. And you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. If you want to continue the discussion and let the other people... And I noticed the hashtag was Heathens on Twitter. So Heathens is a really good hashtag, as well as Salem WGN. And then to get ours, you could do that after Buzz TV, so ABTV Salem. So let's try to get that hashtag, too, if we want to all continue talking about this.
Yep.
So ABTV Salem. And make sure to subscribe so you can be up to date on all these awesome shows on After Buzz's channels, because there's a few. There's After Buzz, there's Popcorn Talk, there's all the other good stuff. Thumbs up, 5 stars on iTunes, comment down below again. And thank you so much for watching. We'll be here next week. And have fun till then. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.